Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes 5 times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
It's Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors. I'm Bo Matthews alongside my partner Mark Cox and our producer Carl Middleman, our
executive producer.
That's the boy right there. And hopefully under the tree is going to be something from Santa that is a wireless hole puncher. That's my hope for you.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Oh, yeah, that would be nice. But I don't know. I mean, we haven't been in the same room in a long time, but yet I got the bird flu like you did. What's going on here?
Bird flu. I got bird flu when I went bird hunting recently, but I don't.
Bird flu.
No, that's bird fever. That's bird fever, buddy.
I've just got bronchitis. It's had a hold of me for 2 weeks, Bo. Anybody that's listened to my morning show, first thing in the morning, I sound like a frog. And then by the end of my show, I'm sounding more normal. And I went to my doctor, and I don't know if he misdiagnosed me or what, but he put me on one type of antibiotic for like a sinus infection, but it just kept lingering. I kept having this horrible cough. And finally, yeah. They said you might have walking pneumonia. You should go get an X-ray. So it ends up, I just have bronchitis. So now I'm taking breathing treatments and a different antibiotic that's supposed to treat that. And hopefully nobody else goes through this. But apparently it's been going around. People have been talking about dealing with this for like 2 weeks, which I'm now at the 2 week point.
I was talking with my wife, and I was like, it was like 2 years ago between Thanksgiving and Christmas. We were sick the entire time, and it was horrible because if you know the show Heartland, there's like freaking 17 seasons. And during that month, all we did is lay on the couch and watch that dang show. And we got almost all the way through it. It was ridiculous. But I think it's the change in the weather. The cold weather, you know, plus we went to Branson to see the Miracle of Christmas show, which was so cool.
Was it good?
It was so good, dude. In the manger scene, it took me forever to realize. I think that the cows that were in the manger were animatronics. I don't think they were real, but man, they looked real. But they did have real camels. But you know what? Next year, hopefully, you get a chance to go see it. They're going to be bringing in David next year. The story of David. For Sight and Sound. Really cool stuff.
We should have considered that. Maybe when the grandkids are a little older. We took them to Branson a couple weeks ago, right after Thanksgiving, and went to Silver Dollar City, which was just a great trip. I just have to say, it's so different than, you know, like Six Flags. I'm not deriding Six Flags. It's just kind of a special place. They had all the light shows going on for Christmas, and you know they still had some of the rides open because the temperatures were in the 40s when we were there, and the kids just had a ball, and you know they had characters running around Rudolph, and it was fantastic. Can't say enough about it.
Yeah, do you have a favorite restaurant down there? Because we went to the Grand Buffet, which I paid for days. It just I swore off buffets a long time ago, but you're down there. My wife's a vegetarian. I'm a meat eater. Yeah. So we want a little bit of both, you know, make it easy. I got to swear them off again.
I've not. And my wife's been to the Top of the Rock, believe it or not, and I haven't. I've heard that's a great restaurant. Ooh. Of course, that's going to be a little more high end, generally speaking. I don't know that I have a favorite restaurant down there, but So many great options. Branson is a different place these days from even, it seems like, 5 or 6 years ago. We went down there when my kids were all younger, when the 17-year-old was probably 3 or 4. And now they've done downtown Branson, like the Branson Landing, and it's just first class, man. It's not old strip that you think of when you drive into Branson anymore.
But there are still pockets. It's pretty amazing. There's still pockets of buildings that are just, you know, dilapidated and overgrown, you know, shrubbery. Anyway, moving right along, happy holidays, Merry Christmas to you. We're only days away before Santa shows up, and hopefully he does for you.
Let's hope. I don't know. You asked me earlier, hey, what'd you get your wife? Well, I'm not going to share that on the radio. But that's always a tricky question, you know, because you ask them what they want. And I don't know if anybody else has had this experience. You ask them what they want, and they're like, I don't need much. And then you know that can be a trap, because if you say, well, she didn't need much, I'm going to go get her a pair of pajamas and we'll be good. You know that's not going to work. You know that's not. So I went back to her. I took a second run at it. I'm like, listen, you can't do this to me. Unless you're just hoping I'm going to go to your favorite jewelry store and spend a fortune, which if that's what you want, tell me. But I got to get you something. You got to have something to open on Christmas Day, because the kids are going to be opening stuff. You need to have something to open. So she finally gave me a couple more ideas. Hopefully I'm covered, Bo.
Married men, listen up. Okay, this is Mark and Bo here talking about what is a trap and what is not a trap. Now, if she says, oh, I don't need anything. No, you listen to the things leading up to Christmas, maybe starting in like August, and you just make a mental note, because don't fall in the trap of saying, I don't need anything. And I've got an old buddy of mine, well, Randy, he was on the show a while back. Him and his wife don't exchange nothing. They're way over that. I'm like, but you can't do that. It's Christmas morning. Don't you want to surprise her? And just, guys, don't fall in the trap. If they say they don't need nothing, don't put it like that's a fact, because that is not a fact. You still have to surprise.
There's one truth to life, though, that is going to be difficult to follow that rule. You said you have to listen starting in August.
That means you have to listen to begin with.
I'm a professional. Listen to him. I'm just kidding. I've never been accused of not listening to my wife. Are you kidding me, Bo? Come on.
Every day. It's a dynamic, because, you know, if you're seasoned, let's call us seasoned, you don't want to fall in that trap, but you just don't want to say, yeah, you know what? She's got everything. She's got me. What more does
what
she need?
What else could she possibly need?
It's impossible, right? So Carl, can you reveal what you're going to give your wife for Christmas?
No, because I don't know yet.
Oh, yeah, that's cutting it close, pal.
I'm driving our 2,000-mile trip, so that is one of my gifts. I'm driving one of the ways down and then back.
Yeah, to Florida.
See?
Yeah, 1,000 miles each way.
Even the Branson trip.
Yeah.
Which was during my birthday week, but my wife's like, no, this is our Christmas gift to each other.
Happy birthday, Bo.
All right.
I love that.
Yeah.
And you know Kim St. Ange, who I work with, and her husband, they have a policy where they don't exchange Christmas gifts.
Yeah.
Come on.
They're going to get one for the kid. Obviously, they have a son, Easton. But she said even since they've been married, before they had kids, they decided in advance that they weren't doing that. I'm like, so what'd you do on Christmas morning? You had a tree. You had to have presents under there. But that's just kind of what they've done.
It's mostly for the child.
Maybe they exchange the coupon book. Maybe they exchange the coupon book.
Maybe. You know, maybe go out and do things. Oh, God, I'm not suggesting that. But, you know, with other family, maybe. So,
what kind of coupon book did you get?
I don't know what you're talking about. I'm thinking like one of those restaurant coupon books.
No, he's talking about rub your back I will do the dishes.
Okay.
Wow.
Thanks,
we're going off the rails.
Yeah, it's been a long year. So you have any, how did your first gun raffle drawing go, Ro? Because my phone didn't ring, and I just thought I'd bring that up.
I will tell you that Father Leo from the Catholic Church there in Eureka showed up, and he did the drawing, as always.
Yes.
But Santa Claus showed up as well to read the name, and it turned out to be the police chief of Baldwin that won the thing. And it was kind of this cool single action 40, was it a 45 or 44?
45, I forget. Vaquero, Ruger,
yeah,
Vaquero.
45 LC.
Funny I know that, because I watched your Facebook Live.
and you really wanted that one. Well,
I did.
But I can tell you that,
doesn't he get free weapons at work?
He won my raffle a couple years ago. Huh. Same guy. The now chief won my raffle, my ATF raffle, whoa, and took the gun a couple years ago.
And I won your raffle just right before.
You won part of my raffle this past year, but has Mark ever won Bo's raffle? No. I'm just pointing that out. Father Leo, you need to step it up here a little bit.
It is the season of giving.
Let me tell you, though, guys, we did not sell all 300 tickets, so that means your chances to win are even more improved.
But if you go to Dots, you can still get tickets, right?
You can, and it's good for the next 11. Our next one will be January 15th, a Rossi R95 4570 rifle, and it's a beautiful gun. That's the next one. There's a whole bunch of good ones. Anyway, Merry Christmas, gentlemen.
Thank you,
Bo. We've got a show
and to happy
perform.
Birthday, since your birthday is falling around this
exactly.
time.
Exactly. Happy belated.
Thank you. That's okay, great. Let's get the show underway. You ready, boys?
Ready. Yes.
Let's. Okay, this is Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. It's Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. This segment is brought to you proudly by Razorback Armory in De Parrots on Manchester Road, just east of 270, right next to the tennis store. You'll see that. You can find their address, though, at RazorbackArmory.com. If you're wanting to suppress a firearm, go see Brad and Jesse. They'll take really good care of you. If you want to buy your ammo out of a vending machine, not at Razorback Armory yet, but we'll put it out there as an idea. Matter of fact, want to welcome in. That's RazorbackArmory.com, by the way. Welcome into the show, Grant Major, who has started a company that could possibly sell you ammo and accessories through a vending machine for your firearm. The company's name is American Rounds.
Hell yes, we're going to take your AR-15, your AK-47.
I know it's not 2A Tuesday, but I had to play a little Beto O'Rourke there for you, the crazy guy from Texas who's always trying to grab your guns. Hey, you know, there's been a serious debate. In fact, Congressman Eric Burleson, we had him on earlier this morning, from the District 7 here in Missouri. One of his issues in the new Congress when he gets sworn, when they take office again on the 3rd, is to push for getting rid of the ATF, the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms. I have long argued that that would make a much better convenience store than government agency. I think that just makes a lot of sense to me in so many ways. But here's the deal. If you go to your local convenience store or your grocery store, there are lots of vending machines as you leave. You could buy a lottery ticket in a lot of these things. You can buy an AirPods. I've seen iPods and all kinds of stuff in these vending machines. Why not ammunition? Kim, you brought this up in your whim yesterday.
Mm-hmm. I found this very fascinating.
I think it's just a fantastic idea. And right now we want to talk to Grant Majors. He's the CEO of American Rounds, AmericanRounds.com. He has put this into reality. And Grant, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm great this morning. I'm just getting caffeinated. Thanks for having me.
I'm glad to hear that. You needed it this hour. Trust me, we're used to being up this early. So I want to just point out, as of right now, to my knowledge, your vending machines are not available in Missouri or Illinois. Correct?
That's correct. We have a lot of requests, particularly for Missouri. And so, you know, we're planning on expanding there eventually. Illinois is a little bit different just with some of the laws there.
Oh, you bet. No, yeah. You think
we're not surprised.
J.B. Pritzker, right. Pritzker might meet you at the border and try to stop you from coming into the state because he's wacko. But in Oklahoma and Alabama, you've already got these vending machines out, correct?
Right. So we have Oklahoma, Alabama, Texas. We've got about... three more getting ready to go into stores here pretty soon, and then more in Texas, Colorado. So yeah, we're starting to grow.
How have sales been so far? I'm sure you've had a lot of people like us who would be in favor of it, and quite a few people pushing back.
Yeah, you know, sales have been they've been steady and growing a little bit. It takes customers a little bit to get comfortable with the technology that we're using and get comfortable with us as a company. You know, we get there's usually two extremes, either. You know, it's those who love it and then those who hate it, or, you know, but so far, so good. You know, we're doing a lot more than just ammunition. So in 25, we're bringing in red dots, and we're bringing in mag loaders, cleaning supplies. We're bringing in a lot of different products and offerings.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea. So One thing Kim addressed yesterday when she first when she found your story was the security issue, right? I mean, some people want you to show an ID, prove you're 21, all that. How do you handle that with your machines?
Yeah, so the technology we're using is, you know, similar to what most people experience if they've gone to the airport. You know, we scan an ID. It's the same reader that the TSA uses. It does a quick facial recognition. Just takes a second just to pair you to the ID. It's not anything we store. We don't do background checks. We don't store that data. It's just for the point of transaction, just to verify that the person is who they say they are at the machine.
Yeah. And have to be 21 and, you know, all that stuff. I mean, that's the whole thing about it is that, and this is what I would argue with these people who are worried about this. It's nobody's business. If I want to stop and buy a 50 pack of 9mm, I'm on my way to the shooting range. Where I get it is none of their business. I just don't understand why anybody thinks they should be able to, that they're somehow preventing crime if they don't allow one of these vending machines in their local store. Is that the kind of pushback you've gotten on it?
Yeah, you know, it's really a misconception, and a lot of that's from people that don't understand the market and how ammunition's sold today. Right. I mean, so the, you know, for instance, I mean, you know, unfortunately, there was, you know, another tragedy just a few days ago. And that, you know, the average school shooting, the average age is 17. You know, today, you know, any 15-year-old can go online with their parents' information and they can have 1,000 rounds of, you know, a 223 shipped right to their house. So, you know, we're trying to, you know, that's kind of why we set the bar at 21. We know a lot of the ages, most states are 18 for rifle and shotgun, but we wanted to, kind of the nature of what we're doing, we wanted to kind of take that extra security step.
I heard some reporter in one of the stories trying to say, you know, explain your reasoning for putting this machine next to a school. I guess that was where the grocery store was located. And you rightfully pointed out, you said, go across the school. I don't know how many yards away. There's another store that's been selling ammo, though, for how many years? And you didn't question that, but somehow this is different.
Yeah, I think it's pretty much, I think it's just kind of a little bit of the shock value. I mean, people hear they hear this concept of, you know, vending machine combined with ammunition, combined with grocery store, and, you know, they tend to blow a gasket. But they don't really, these aren't vending machines like, you know, getting a candy bar or a bag of chips.
No.
I mean, this is not the same concept. We prefer the term, you know, automated retail machine. That's really what it is. But there's a hardware store just right across the street from that school that's been selling ammo for years.
That's crazy. Grant Majors with the CEO of American Rounds. I mean, I think it's a great idea. Now, here's what I want to know. The next generation, I can go buy an AR, right? I can just punch in my information and... I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. But I know some people are going to carry it to that. They're good because
they are.
I mean, you could never do that because you have to fill out the forms and do the background check. And I mean, it's just, I knew exactly how the mainstream media would play a story like this.
Yeah, it's been, you know, what they say, there's no such thing as bad publicity.
That's true.
We have a franchise model of our business. And, you know, in the month of July, when the media really kind of took off with what we were doing, we had over 1,000 requests for franchises.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, no such thing as as bad publicity, I suppose.
This is true. So, you know, I don't know. I'm just going to ask this as a consumer. My assumption is if I stop at the local gas station and buy a candy bar, I'm paying a little more for it. It is a convenience item. I mean, obviously you need to make money on it, but I mean, is it much more expensive than going to an ammo store to buy the ammo?
No, we try to keep up with the big box retailers, and we try to keep the price point within plus or minus 5%. And one of the great things about the machines, if we're in a market and someone notices we're significantly higher on a product, they can just shoot us an email and we can change the price at any machine at any time just with some keystrokes.
How are you choosing where these are going? You mentioned you've had quite a few requests in Missouri. Are those all grocery stores? What kinds of stores are these?
Yeah, we've had requests in grocery stores, hardware stores, convenience stores. I mean, we've even had a request in a hair salon in East Texas.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, we've had, I mean, you know, boot stores. We've had all kinds of requests, but we do have some selection criteria. You know, we don't put them in liquor stores or vape stores or places like that.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Or you know, the corner bar, whatever the case may be.
The corner bar, for sure.
That's great. So if you go to AmericanRounds.com, you can find out more about the machines. Plus, there's even a link right up at the top for the franchise opportunities, right?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, we'd love for people to visit and get more information, and we're going to continue to bring out more offerings. You know, we've been working with the NRA on doing NRA memberships potentially at the machines, USCCA insurance. I mean, all kinds of various things.
Great opportunities there, and I just wonder if maybe you can address this from Missouri since you've had some interest here. Is there any legal reason why you wouldn't be able to do it? I mean, they wouldn't have to change any laws to allow you to do this, right?
No. So, I mean, realistically, we could, from a legal standpoint, we could go into all 50 states.
Right.
There's a handful of states, you know, that are requiring background checks and things of that nature. And we're choosing not to go into those, and that's just, out of our Second Amendment principles. But not for Missouri, absolutely not.
Yeah.
And, we're looking forward to getting there.
We are red-blooded Americans up here, for sure. Grant, where are you based right now?
We're in Dallas, Texas.
Okay. All right. Very good. Well, I'll direct people to AmericanRounds.com if they want to find out more information on it. Grant, thank you for your time, and Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas to you guys and your families. I appreciate the time.
You bet. Thank you. And keep supporting the Second Amendment. I think it's a great idea.
Maybe by the end of next year, we could see some of these machines here in Missouri.
And why not? I mean, I could see some crazy place like California where you have to do a background check to get
for
ammunition.
Camo.
I hope somebody's challenging that in court. That's stupid.
I hope you get one. I hope you get a franchise, Mark.
Investment opportunity.
Well,
Mark?
I mean, I don't know how much the machines cost, but yeah, I mean, I remember when the Redbox thing before the Redbox thing came out, there was a company out of Florida that was offering that was franchising video machines like that, where you could stock them with movies and rent them. But if I remember correctly, I don't know how that business model worked out for them. I looked into it. And you put down X amount of dollars, you get the machines, you find places to put them, college campuses, places like that. But the markup was like, I don't know, you were charging $4 or $5 for a rental. Well, the next year, Redbox comes out at every McDonald's in the world,
and
the rentals were a dollar.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they completely undercut the market. So I don't know what those people did. But this is a completely different beast. I think this is a great idea. So looking forward to running into one of these at a grocery store sometime soon. We'll see. I don't know. Who knows?
You know, we had to repeat that conversation from earlier this week on the Mark Cox Morning Show. It's next level. This is like robots selling you gun parts and ammo out of a vending machine. I love this idea. Grant Major from American Rounds. Good job. All right. Stick around on Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors. We are going to talk to the son of a legend, Dennis Anderson's son. His name is Ryan Anderson, and he drives a monster truck called Son of a Digger. And that's next on Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors.
You're listening to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors, but we cover the Great Outdoors and the Great Indoors, right? Because we're going to talk to you a little bit about Monster Jam that's going to be coming here to St. Louis to the Dome at America Center. I mean, what a great venue for that. A huge facility, lots of room on the floor over there, and it's coming up January 18th and 19th of this year. Those huge trucks, you've seen it. Hopefully you've been there before, and the tickets are on sale now over at Ticketmaster. We've got Ryan Anderson, one of the drivers, with us this morning. Everybody's going to know the name who's familiar with Monster Jam. He drives Son of a Digger. His dad was the Grave Digger, by the way. Ryan, welcome in.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
Yeah, that's awesome. Tell us just a little bit about what's going on this year in Monster Jam, because every year it seems to be bigger and better than ever.
Absolutely. Well, one of my most exciting things for me personally is obviously my truck's named Son of a Digger. That is 1982. Well, he's retired now, and all of his kids, all my siblings, are all driving.
Wow.
Well, this year, for the first time, me and Adam, my oldest brother, are both going to be there in that stadium at the same time. It's going to be insane. I can promise you that. So my brother is driving Grave Digger. I'm going to be driving Son of a Digger. And it's not that we have the sibling rivalry like you would think, but we also are nonstop just pushing each other to go crazier, bigger, and badder. So that's the biggest thing instantly off the top of my head. But obviously every year we're evolving the sport. The trucks are getting more durable. The tricks are getting more intense. So it's, you never know what you're going to see anytime you come to Monster Jam. It doesn't matter if you come 2 days in a row, you're not going to see the same thing one time.
So is anybody fighting over driving Gravedigger? Because it says here that your sister competes in Monster Jam as well.
Yeah, so my sister drives Gravedigger. My little brother drives Gravedigger as well, but they're on different tours.
Okay.
So we don't really fight over who gets to drive it. I drive Son of a Digger. I created Son of a Digger when my dad was still competing, and it was my way of being under the Gravedigger umbrella, but still being able to compete with and against my dad. So I kept going with that. When my dad stepped out to retire, my big brother Adam jumped in and took over the lead Gravedigger spot.
Hey, Ryan, I'm so pleased to be talking with you because I need to have a MythBuster moment here, because there's been some videos that have been going viral about monster trucks that are doing some things that I don't know if it's real. I don't know if it's RC that looks like it's real or it's AI doing it, but they've got monster trucks doing cartwheels. They've got them doing like triple flips. Can you debunk or confirm what I've seen, because you probably have seen it. You probably got friends that are going, hey, is this real? Do you know what I'm talking about?
I know exactly what you're talking about. It's called Big.
Your phone broke up. What'd you say?
I know exactly what you're talking about. It's an Instagram account called Big America RC. It is an RC car. But the guy,
okay.
I'm friends with the guy. Yeah, I'm friends with the guy. He does a very good job. He loves playing with RCs. He loves Monster Jam and the real life stuff. He gets a good angle and knows how to make the audio sound proper and all that stuff. So yeah, it's an RC, but we are doing cartwheels with the trucks. I can't say we're doing them fully intentionally yet. I am working on that, but we definitely cartwheel these things pretty often. We've been working on the double flip for quite some time now, and it is not perfected. And it is one heck of a ride when you don't make it. So not saying it's not going to happen, because you kind of never know. And a lot of the things that happen in Monster Jam are we get a really cool, crazy opportunity pop up in the truck, and we just go for it. We know we're inside of a massive, basically, safety capsule. So we go for it no matter what. So I can't guarantee you that. But at the same time, it's, you know, you never know.
Yeah.
Well, and I don't know how old you are, but I was an Evel Knievel fan when I was a kid. And you look at what Evel Knievel was doing. He was doing a jump from point A to point B, and that was cool. Now Supercross is doing, you know, all of these Superman things, and it's just incredible. What is the latest move in the monster truck world that you think, you know, because every year it ramps up to something different. What's it's the cartwheel possibly that you're working on.
Yeah, cartwheels, and we have a skills competition midway through the event where basically everybody tries their best trick. Normally it's balancing the truck on two wheels in some type of way, whether that's the nose, on the back. But in my opinion, the biggest thing going on right now is combinations of tricks. So my personal favorite one is to do a backflip, which is nuts. I mean, I don't care how many times you see a Monster Jam truck do a backflip, it blows your mind every time. And then when you land that, you got to get the thing to actually over-rotate the backflip and land back tires first. And keep in mind, we're running into a wall with our Monster Jam trucks, and it goes up the wall and does a flip off of it. So we land back where we took off. It's nuts.
Wow.
But if you land it just right, you're putting the truck into reverse as you're flipping upside down, and it catches just right, and you what we call a moonwalk. So it's where you get the truck up on the front two tires, and you essentially do a reverse wheelie out of it. And if you really get freestyling into my monster truck, is if you slam it just right, you can actually pull back into a standard wheelie on the back two tires. So it's essentially a triple combo. I've done it like three times now, and it's kind of one of those things like the stars got to align, and you got to be ready. All those things have to be just right. So that's what my thing is. That's what I'm chasing after right now. That's what gets me excited. So, you know, the combo moves are just insane, because the first move in general, you can't believe a Monster Jam truck's doing, and then it combos into another one. You're like, what is going on here?
Ryan, I got to ask, because you put your cape on and you go to the arena and you drive Son of a Digger and you do all these tricks. You know, I drive like a 1500 Ram. 1500 is my daily driver. What do you drive when you're not doing Monster Jam competitions?
Son of a digger.
Well, yeah.
Down the highway.
Yeah, it's pretty frowned upon because it takes up two lanes.
Yeah, I'll bet.
But my everyday pickup is just a 2500 GMC Duramax. Nothing crazy. It's honestly like it's all stock. Very simple, but I can't help myself. A classic Chevrolet K5 Blazer that is on military axles and 44-inch tires, and it's hopefully none of the police from my area are listening. It's a little wider than it legally should be, a little taller than it should be, and the motor, of course, is not anywhere near stock. So it's essentially about as much of a monster truck as you can have without being fully illegal. That's my play toy.
That's awesome. We're talking to Ryan Anderson. He drives Son of a Digger in the Monster Jam competition coming to the Dome at America Center on January 18th and 19th. Of course, in the new year, you can get your tickets now at Ticketmaster. Should be just a fantastic event. My question is, you run the risk of damaging the truck because you're doing all these different stunts. What's maintenance like on a regular basis for you guys? You have two or three versions of the truck, or do you have to repair the one you've got? How do you do that?
No, so we have one truck, and we have a insanely trained crew that literally all they do is make sure to get that thing back together for the next competition, the next weekend, whatever the case may be. And we've also tailor-built a lot of our parts and pieces to be able to swap out super fast. So actually, the last time I was in St. Louis, I blew my engine up in intros. About as bad as it can get. So, I'm like, there's no way I'm not going to perform. We got to go. So we go in the back. We tear the body off. The body is made of fiberglass. It's essentially a shell. So we tear it off, get it out of the way. We swapped the motor in an hour and 20 minutes. And I came back out and performed freestyle in that very same event. So that's pretty crazy. An engine swap in under an hour and a half. And we do it pretty often. A transmission can be swapped in 20 minutes, all that. So we'll have complete built axles that we just roll in and replace. Because without a doubt, on a good night, there is a lot. Entire axle assembly has to be broken down, gone through, checked, because, I am not easy on equipment. And I can tell you, if I am easy on equipment, I would be yawning in the crowd bored. So that's my problem is I know what I want to see when I sit in the stands, and it drives me to go absolutely crazy. So I never set out to break the truck, but I set out to push the truck beyond its limits and see how long it'll stand.
And the cool part about this whole community of Monster Jam fans is it's all about the fans. The pit party, that starts the day off. You get a chance to be up close and personal with the trucks and the drivers, getting autographs and stuff. I do want to ask you, on average, what do these trucks weigh, tires and all, and what kind of horsepower are you putting out for anybody that's never seen the show live and in person? I mean, it's so much power, the alcohol, you can smell it, but what are we talking about, horsepower and weight?
So the truck entirely together, big tires and all, weighs just over 12,000 pounds. And with our rules and regulations through our association, we're making about 1,500 horsepower, which is a lot. Don't get me wrong. I mean, yeah. Standard pickup truck, you're weighing like 6,000 pounds, which, newer trucks are pretty heavy. And, average power around 300 horsepower. So 1,500 horsepower is a lot. But, it's like you said, though, you're immersed in this. It's not just the visual. You feel the power in your chest. You can smell aromas. And that's one of my favorite parts is the smell. I love the smell of the alcohol fuel. It's very clean burning, but the flavor is just, I wish I need to make a candle like that, but.
And then, like you said, that's a good idea.
the pit party is a really amazing time because you come pre-show and you actually get on the competition floor. We got all the trucks set up. All the drivers are out there, so you can meet and greet with us, ask us questions. We'll sign stuff, take photos. There's a ton of activities, families to do, coloring. There's slides. There's Gravedigger ride-on experiences. All kinds of fun stuff to do. So it's a super enjoyable time for the entire family. And the dads, I know there's dads out there probably listening. You can look at these trucks. You can get hands-on with them. You can see how crazy they really are. and you can see some battle scars. We're going to be a couple weekends in, and I can promise you, I'm not taking it easy until I get there. I got to get warmed up and get ready because that show is going to be a burner. Every time I'm in St. Louis, it's one of the most insane times. So I got to get prepped for that. So I'm planning on coming in with the truck with a couple of battle scars. I know that thing's going to be primed up and ready.
Coming soon from Ryan Anderson, Cologne, right, with the burning tire smells. Is that what we're going to get?
Yeah. You'll smell it all, man. I'm going to be driving the truck as hard as I can. I always, my saying is, I'm going to drive the truck like an absolute wild man until it just won't go anymore. So I'm not stopping until the truck stops.
Well, I've always said, since our dome does not have a football team, not an NFL team, that we should be the monster truck capital of the world, because the original monster truck, Bob Chandler, is a friend of mine with Bigfoot out in Pacific. I think that it should absolutely be a once-a-month competition in that dome that sits empty for so long every year.
I know.
But we do love when Monster Jam comes into town, for sure.
It's a perfect spot. It's one of the best things for me is the big indoor area where the convention center is normally at. It's literally about the most perfect venue that we have for us to put on our events. So it's I have a crazy good luck here. I've pulled some of the most insane things off in my career in that dome. And then not to mention the accessibility for us to be able to work on stuff. So it always takes the weight off of having to worry about anything breaking, because we know everything is as good as it can get to get everything back together and come back out again. So if there's anywhere I'm not going to hold back whatsoever, it's there. I promise you that. So you better come there. You better be there. Especially my big brother going to be there too. We're going to be absolutely tearing that place apart.
Son of a Digger and Grave Digger competing against each other. Two brothers going head to head. It's going to be great. Coming up January 18th and 19th at the Dome at America Center. 5 o'clock on that Saturday. 3 o'clock on that Sunday. They got pit parties that open earlier in the day, and you can get your tickets on Ticketmaster right now. Ryan Anderson, listen, man, you can feel the passion just talking to you. We're thrilled that you gave us some time today.
Absolutely, man. Thank you guys for helping spread the word. Can't wait to see everybody out there at Monster Jam. And like I said, I promise to drive my truck like a madman until it won't go anymore for every one of you.
Hey, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. We'll see you in the new year. And please give our best to your dad, a legend in the sport. And we hope he's enjoying his retirement like nobody else.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys. And happy holidays to everybody else, too. And I'll see you soon.
Absolutely.
I think it's a great idea. Mark, I think it's a great stocking stuffer, or, you know, maybe it's the big present that Santa brings, his tickets to Monster Jam. I mean, you go in the middle of January, and it's hopefully going to be a freezing cold night, snow and ice, and you know what? People will show up no matter what to that event. I've been to it so many times in my life. It's just fantastic.
Warm, and it's warm on the inside, and then you get the great smell that goes along with it. When he said, I love that smell, I thought, I love the smell of napalm in the morning. I was thinking apocalypse right now.
You can tell you're there when you can taste the air.
That's
absolutely
right. That's fantastic.
Oh, and Bo has the great voice for doing it.
Oh, I know.
Sunday. Yeah. I've done a few of those things. Of course, I had Bowfoot.
You have
on
the
streets for 21 years.
You also have, you buy the whole seat, Bo, but you only need the edge.
Oh, I love that line. Did you write that line?
That was a great note. We heard it in the spots. The other time. I know.
Come on, Bo, do it for us.
Sundays. Actually, no. This weekend, it's Monster Jam. Pay for the whole seat, but only use the edge.
That's great.
I wish I could get on that.
You should be getting money for that. You should be getting paid for that. What are we doing?
Yeah, no kidding.
That's
Come
great.
Come on, Ryan. What's
All
up
right.
with that?
Yeah, get your tickets at Ticketmaster. Again, great idea. Good stocking.
Have you seen the videos that I asked him about? Because, I mean, they look so legit.
I have not.
These monster trucks. Oh, I'm going to find them.
Yeah, remote control cars. That sounds amazing. And then he enhances the sound, so that makes it sound even. And look, you believe it, because you hear the sounds of the real cars, but then it's just a radio-controlled car.
Wow.
It really is impressive. Dude, it's
with
insane.
AI, you can't tell what you're looking at these days. I just got to tell you. Seen some crazy stuff.
Am I even
stuff
talking to Mark Cox right now? Holy crap.
He's not, well,
Man.
His voice sounds good, so you can't tell.
That's right. This is true.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Well, Merry Christmas.
It's been a good year and a great election and a great 2025. You know, it is funny, not to keep the conversation going, but it is funny when you do I talked to somebody, a buddy of mine in California, and I could tell just by the tone of his voice, I was like, so what do you think of the election? Because I hadn't talked to him in a long time. I almost wanted to give him a tissue. I was like, what? Are you serious? He's in the railroad industry. Anyway, you can just tell. Be careful out there.
Well, folks, you know, don't gloat too much over the holidays with your relatives who don't agree with you on politics. Just try to enjoy yourself.
You don't have to talk politics at
Christmas. Spirit of the season. This is true. Very true. We can forget about that. Well, Merry Christmas to everybody. Thank you for listening all year long to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors.
Enjoy the rest of your weekend. Good luck Christmas shopping, and we'll see you, boys.
Get more at 971talk.com.